Roger Lau is the deputy executive director of the Democratic National Committee. He's a senior advisor to the Biden Victory Fund, and he is speaking. He's going to be speaking tomorrow at the Dem NPL convention. I'm going to be there for that. I want to see it. I want to hear it. And I'm going to be the moderator of the panel that Mr. Lau is going to be on. So, Roger, good to have you on News and Views.
So great to have to be on, Senator. Thank you for having me.
So
excited to be on KFGO.
Tell me why. Why are you coming to North Dakota?
Well, I was just remembering that I've never been to North Dakota. It is one of eight states I've never been to. I was supposed to go to North Dakota 20 years ago, actually, shortly after John Kerry was a presumptive nominee, and I was supposed to go out there, and it's terrible. I actually wound up getting a speeding ticket on the way to the airport. I missed my flight, so I missed my chance to go to North Dakota, to Fargo. I'm excited to come out here this weekend for the convention. And just looking forward to, you know, making sure that we're talking to our Democrats and understanding the role that the party plays, understanding, you know, how we want, you know, Democrats in North Dakota to be engaged with the Biden-Harris campaign.
So tell me what your message to North Dakota Democrats is, because many Democrats in the middle of this country feel as though they're not as connected as the ones on the East and the West in terms of being able to develop policy.
Yeah, I think the first thing, Senator, is, one is North Dakotans matter, right? You know, we have Democrats all around the country. We need all of them, you know, to vote. We need them to make their voices heard. We need them to volunteer. We need them to donate. You know, this is part of a much bigger picture. North Dakota has a long history of, you know, having strong Democratic representation, you know, up and down the ballot, you know, including that just not that long ago, you know, our congressional delegation, statewide elected officials. Obviously, it's been tougher times, but, you know, number one, you don't get what you don't fight for. And every North Dakotan Democrat I've been talking to is hungry for better representation from the Democratic Party in their state, in Congress, in the state house. So, you know, again, you don't get what you don't fight for. And we want to make sure that, you know, North Dakotan Democrats are getting the tools and resources they need to do that. So one is I want to make sure that everyone understands that the voters, volunteers, voters and Democrats there know that the DNC, the Democratic Party, the National Party cares about our local party, NDPL in North Dakota. But two, just to talk about some of the resources that the DNC has been providing to Democrats and the party overall. You know, every single month, you know, the DNC provides funding for the local party to the tune of about $150,000 a year, just to pay for basic resources, no strings attached. You know, wanting to make sure that, you know, there's an office that's open and, you know, making sure that there's good data, a good, you know, voter file, good technology, good tools, just so that Democrats, you know, who are running on the ballot this year have, you know, the basic infrastructure to run for office. But then also, you know, the DNC has a program to make sure that states that are struggling to you know, sort of win these seats because, you know, obviously, you know, Republicans are also investing. We want to make sure that, you know, there's funding available as well. So under Chairman Jamie Harrison, who's the chair of the DNC, we've created funding specifically for some of these states that Republicans have been winning in. It's called the Red State Fund. And it's, you know, another sort of $30,000 for the $50,000 that states are getting, like North Dakota, to make sure that we can stay competitive.
And I just want to make sure and get this out of the way. It's been so many years since I've been in the state Senate. I'll pay you not to call me senator anymore.
My wife
never would call me that, even after 14 years of being in there. So, Mr. Lau, I want to ask you this, because this comes up, which is, number one, that the economy was better under Donald Trump than it was under than it is under Joe Biden. What's your answer to people when they say that?
Yeah, well, let me start by saying I promise I won't call you Senator if you won't call me Mr. Lau.
Okay, deal. There you go. We cut a deal here, Roger.
Look, I mean, these are tough times. You know, if you remember 4 years ago, we're in the middle of a pandemic when Joe Biden was first running and obviously coming into office. We were still in a place where, you know, we didn't have testing available, vaccines weren't available, and people were, you know, like you know, I'm sure like you, like me, you know, I was at home, you know, staring at the four walls of my, you know, my home office, trying to figure out how to live life. And, you know, we're in a place now where we're in a much better position. You know, people are going out again, they're back in their offices, they're going out to restaurants, seeing their friends and family, and that's all thanks to Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. That said, you know, Joe Biden kept his promise of working for the economy. I mean, it is going to be hard, and we're still dealing with residuals. But, you know, just today, you know, the jobs report came out, and, you know, under Joe Biden's presidency, 15 million jobs, new jobs, were created under his presidency, and nearly 30,000 of those were in North Dakota. So, you know, that's a huge deal. And that, in comparison, you know, Donald Trump had the worst jobs record since Herbert Hoover, and we all know how that went. But a lot of it is, you know, coming down to a commitment, relentless commitment from this administration, from this party, not just Joe Biden, in making sure that we're lowering costs, putting more people to work. You know, there are more Black people, Latinos, women of working age in the workforce than it's ever been. The unemployment rate is lower than ever. You know, obviously, consumer confidence is going up. I mean, obviously, you know, we need to make sure that people actually feel it. And, you know, even if these numbers that I'm talking about are out there, it's not enough. You know, people have to feel the difference in the economy, and people aren't going to feel that until they get some confidence, so that when they go to their barbecue and they're shopping for it, they're able to buy the good meats, right? It's not just like whatever you can afford, whatever you can get out there, because you don't know when the next paycheck's going to come. But, you know, it's $287 million for affordable high-speed internet. You know, things like that, critical infrastructure that makes it easier for people to you know, work, make it easier for businesses to run. I mean, Joel, can you imagine if we're, you know, we're in the 21st century, the idea of not having high-speed internet for businesses, that's like not having electricity or water or working phones, right? You know, this is really, really important for the modern economy. And then that's obviously on top of that, you know, $3.3 billion, you know, in North Dakota for infrastructure and climate projects, like $437 million invested in the Fargo-Moorhead area, diversion just to help mitigate flood risks and things like that. I mean, these are all not only important investments that we're making in our country and for our communities and for North Dakota, but also for our economy as well, because it puts people back to work.
So, I mean, here's the other part, though, and it's a hill that oftentimes I know that you have to climb. I remember in the Trump administration when soybeans were worth about $7.25. I remember quite well how the deficit blew up under the Trump administration. I remember how the COVID situation was ignored to the point where it wasn't handled with in the beginning the way it could be handled with, and I saw friends die. I mean, that's just the flat-out truth.
I'm so sorry.
I believe in NATO. I mean, I truly believe in NATO. I believe we should be helping Ukraine. When it comes to the southern border, I believe that we shouldn't be blocking what we can do on the southern border because of politics and because Trump wants to win. Those are all middle of this country issues. You know, those are all issues in the middle of this country. And those are issues that I, as a Democrat, believe. And I think the majority of people believe. And yet we still lose elections. Why?
Well, I mean, look, you know, I appreciate everything you're saying. I mean, you mean you don't want a president that's going to tell Putin to do whatever he wants?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, and look, I mean, I think your previous caller, I missed her name, but it sounds like she's going to be an excellent candidate running for office. This is about solving problems. This is about getting things done. And obviously, you know, when you look at, you know, the work that we've done, you know, Joe Biden talked about restoring the soul of the nation, restoring, you know, sort of a belief that our government works, but also just, you know, a common practice in terms of how we, you know, govern. Obviously, we have this president here who's been divisive, you know, obviously, you know, sort of downplaying January 6th and, you know, trying to make it seem like there's nothing to see here. You know, talking about school shootings, you know, where young people, kids, students are getting killed and telling people to get over it. You know, I mean, it's just wild. You know, that, and you know, on top of that, you know, I was listening to your sister, Senator Heidi Heitkamp, you know, on a podcast the other day talking about, you know, the importance of, you know, diversity, embracing it and making, you know, diversity making us stronger. And you have, you know, Donald Trump talking about how, you know, new Americans, immigrants coming in poisons the blood of our country. I mean, it's wild. I mean, there's so much negativity out there. But I think what's critical is making sure that people understand that progress is being made. You know, again, talking about lowering costs, you know, talking about creating new jobs, rebuilding infrastructure, reducing energy costs, protecting our veterans. I mean, these are all critical parts of, you know, making our economy work better and our country feel better. You know, student loan debt. I mean, you know, I don't know how when you stop paying your student loan debt. I'm 46 years old, turning 47. I didn't stop paying my student loan debt until I was 40, right? And, you know, tuitions and, you know, student loan debt is at an all-time high. You know, we have young people, a lot of people who are working at here at the DNC, working in our parties, young people who are having to make a tough choice between, buying homes and having families and paying for childcare, because they're saddled with student loan debt. This is really hard. So I understand why people feel like things are hard, but, here's the thing, to me, the important part is understanding what our challenges are and listening to our leaders like Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and people like you talk about what's important. And the biggest part of it is letting people know that these are things that are worth fighting for, right? And these are things that we can fight for and make a difference because this country's done it and done it before, and Joe Biden's doing it now.
In my particular case, you mentioned student loan debt. My family that I grew up in had all kinds of things in terms of hugs and but we didn't have money. That's the one thing we didn't have. When I got to college,
you were rich.
Yeah, we were. We're still really close.
I
think the world of every one of my sisters but one, and they can figure out which one it is today. But the point I would make is this. I had work study, and that was considered, welfare. But it was 25 hours a week. If I showed up and I did the job, I could keep it. But I was basically guaranteed a job of all these things, and it helped me pay for my college. Yes, I had low interest debt, and yes, I got it paid off. I get it. But that work study played a big factor in me even having a buck in my pocket. And that program came through Democrats. And you don't forget that. And now you see Donald Trump talking about cutting Social Security, talking about cutting Medicare, and talking to and getting caught on a recorded situation where he's talking about giving billionaires a huge tax break. Well, I'm sorry, but for those of us in the middle, whatever tax break we had was put on a temporary notice. And all we've seen is debt go up.
That's right.
And so I struggle with it. And I think that's why. I really do, Roger. I think that's why union workers are coming home. I think that's why you're seeing a swing.
No, I think that's right. And, to your point, Donald Trump behind closed doors is talking about giving tax cuts to billionaires. You're talking about cutting Social Security. Here's the thing. Republicans have been talking about cutting services for a long time, and it's all in the interest of this idea of a smaller government. They've talked about cutting ACA. They voted on when your sister was in Congress, something like 47 times or something like that, right? And they've been talking about, banning abortion. And, last year with the Dobbs decision, obviously restricted this significantly. And, obviously a lot led states like North Dakota, to impose these just really, really restrictive bans on abortion, making it harder for, women and families to have, reproductive healthcare that they need. This is not helping Americans. Cutting Social Security and Medicare is not helping Americans. Cutting ACA, at a point when more Americans are insured than ever before. For example, Joe Biden, under his leadership, 38,500 North Dakotans have saved an average of $800 on health insurance. That is huge. That is huge. And for people who are suffering from type 2 diabetes and rely on insulin, we're capping the cost of insulin to $35. That is a huge, huge, huge deal.
It's huge.
At the end of the day, to me, what it means to be a Democrat is what we're doing, expanding or retracting. But the Democrats are for expanding rights and opportunities, right? And a lot of that is obviously economic opportunity. It's social opportunity. It's a right to an education. At the end of the day, it's expanding rights and opportunities so that Americans can pursue life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, right?
Yep.
And happiness comes down to about your family and opportunity and the American dream.
Yeah. I think I figured out which sister it is today. I'll tell you when we see each other. Roger Lau, ladies and gentlemen, Deputy Executive Director of the Democratic National Committee. It's convention weekend, and he's going to be at the Avalon tomorrow.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting you, and it's open to the public. They can come meet you and get a chance to hear from you and just come on in. I'd love to get a chance.
It only took me 20 years to get there, so this time I promise I'm not going to get a speeding ticket on the way.
Well, if you do, it's just money that stays in state. There's nothing wrong with that. Roger, good to meet you.
Good.
We'll see you soon.
All right, take care, Joel.